Well, today we're in the fifth week of a six-week Lenten message series. It's based on what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is a great collection of teachings that Jesus used to guide his disciples and of course, us. And in the first week, we looked at the Beatitudes, where Jesus talked about how we are blessed when we work for things such as justice and peace, and how we're blessed even when we're persecuted by others for doing what pleases God. And in the second week, we looked at where Jesus told his disciples that they were the salt and light of the earth. As imperfect as they were making a difference in the world, and so can we. And in the third week, our focus was on the word no, of saying no to the temptations that threaten to sidetrack us and do great damage to our souls. And then last week, we looked at what Jesus had to say about being rich, and how it's foolish to store things up here on earth and be so preoccupied and worried about worldly possessions. He stressed that true wealth, wealth of the soul, comes from taking stock in the things of God. Now today our focus will be on what Jesus has to say about the way we look at people. And on this topic, Jesus really challenged his disciples, including us, on our attitudes towards other people and our propensity to be judgmental. Our reading for today comes from the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 6. And today I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, where Jesus said this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would challenge us today through these words from Scripture. Cause us to examine our own ways and how to make changes in how we see ourselves and how we treat other people. Guide our thoughts through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, we have all been preoccupied for the last several weeks with the spread of the coronavirus. But there's another virus out there that has been doing great harm. It's a relational virus that impacts how we see ourselves and how we look at and judge other people. Many times this virus takes advantage of our own blind spots and prevents us from seeing truth or responding to people with grace and compassion. The virus is really nothing new. It started out in Genesis chapter 2, where God made a garden, a utopia, if you will, and everything was perfect. That was until God put two humans into the picture and gave them free will. Free will to follow God's ways of doing things or striking out on their own. And we all know how that worked out. Adam and Eve practiced deception, lying, finger pointing, and blaming. They were the first dysfunctional couple, and it really went downhill from there. Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel, and you might remember how that worked out. Cain, the older brother, became jealous of his younger brother, took him out into the fields, and killed him. The Lord asked Cain where his younger brother Abel was, and Cain responded, "I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper." So this relational virus stuff goes way back and continues with us today. And none of us are immune to this virus. So how can we fight off this virus which destroys us from the inside out? How can we inoculate ourselves from this virus that destroys community and leaves us isolated and alone? Well, today I'd like us to look at what Jesus had to say about how we look at others. Do we jump to judgment? Or do we strive to see others with an empathetic eye, with a willingness to walk in someone else's shoes? And I really think it starts out with a realistic view of who we are and who we're not. It's called humility. All of us have God-given gifts. All of us have areas of strengths and abilities, and God has given each of us gifts to use in concert with other people. But no one has it all. No one other than God has the ability to truly see another person's heart. Another way of putting this is, it's not all about how you see things. The world doesn't revolve around you or your opinions and your way of thinking how the world should be ordered. God is God. You're not. So it's important to understand that. And in our scripture reading today, Jesus said, "Do not judge." Let me put that another way. Unless you have been appointed or voted in as a judge, you're not the decider in determining another person's fitness or fate. It's above your pay grade. But judging and passing verdicts seems to have gone viral in our world, and many people have become convinced that their take on things indeed is fact, when they were just really opinion. I remember hearing a story some time ago about a man by the name of Tom who was in a small town hardware store when it was being robbed. The robber came into the store, snuck behind the cashier, and knocked the cashier unconscious, out cold. And then the robber proceeded to grab cash from the till and ran out the door into the streets. Well, Tom, who witnessed this robbery, chased after the bandit, hoping to catch him. But instead, he was stopped and arrested by the police at gunpoint. He was handcuffed and put in the patrol car and taken back to the scene of the crime, where the clerk said, "Yeah, that was the robber." Even though he never had a chance to see the robber, he said, "Yeah, that's the guy." Tom's picture was splashed across the front page of the town's newspaper as being the hardware robber. His neighbors and coworkers, and even some of the people in his church that he attended, began to gossip about Tom. "Oh, it's shocking that Tom is the robber. Well, I heard he wasn't doing well financially. Well, you know, Tom, there's just something about that guy I didn't trust." And can you imagine how much worse it would be today in this age of social media? He would be accused, tried, and convicted by people on Facebook without even knowing the most basic of details. I'm sure there'd be 100 posts chiming in the comments section of the newspaper screaming, "Off with his head." And even after he was cleared in a long trial, the newspapers never put his acquittal on the front page. It's buried someplace on page 14. And even though he was innocent, he still had people pointing at him and wondering if the jury got it right. And I kind of think this is what Jesus was talking about in our scripture reading for today, is passing judgment on someone when we only know part of the story. And even then, recognizing that unless you're given a gavel, a bench, and a black robe, judging really isn't your job. I mentioned this once before. There was a woman in my former church that literally went berserk during a worship service. She ran up the aisle of the church screaming expletives at the congregation for like 10 minutes. And the police finally came and escorted her out to the psych ward at the local hospital. And a few days later, I had the opportunity to meet with her at the hospital, where she told me that she had had a long battle with schizophrenia and several other personality disorders. She'd been described a number of different drugs, some of which worked for a while, and some of them had unintended side effects. She had lost her job, her family. She even had to live on the street from time to time. But some in the church demanded that we bar her from ever attending again because she made them feel uncomfortable. And I think that made Jesus feel very sad. Jesus said, "Do not jump, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measures you use, it will be measured to you. Our judgmental attitudes do have a way of coming back and biting us where it hurts. These words were not startling to those listening on the hillside that day. They had no doubt heard those words from their rabbis who warned people against judging others. He who judges his neighbor favorably, they said, will be judged favorably by God. The Jews knew that kindness and judgment was a sacred duty. Now, to be sure, there is more to these words from Jesus than simply not rushing to conclusions. There's a word about condemning without knowing enough about people. A word about condemning without knowing enough about the situation. And in general, a word about how little we really know anyway. Our judgments are often made despite the lack of knowledge of the entire situation. The famous Rabbi Hillel said, "Do not judge a man until you yourself have come into his circumstances or situation." The great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are." Or to quote Atticus Fitch in To Kill a Mockingbird, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it." The fact is that if we realized what some people have to go through, we'd stop condemning them and instead be amazed by how they've persevered and in many cases succeeded despite how people have judged them harshly and condemned them. Jesus said, "Why do you look for that speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in yours? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You're a hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's." But you know, that's our temptation, isn't it? To think we know it all with little appreciation of our own blind spots. Blind spots that prevent us from seeing the bigger picture. We rarely know the whole story. We rarely know the entire situation. All good reasons not to jump to judgment. Now, in our scripture passage for today, Jesus says one last thing, which is kind of a twist on the first few verses of this passage. He says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." This is a word of warning, of Jesus saying that there are people that you have to watch out for. There are people who have impure motives who seek to lift themselves up by doing you harm. Jesus is acknowledging that we need to create and maintain healthy boundaries to keep ourselves safe and to protect community. If you go back to the history of the Reformed Church tradition, you find that the Protestant definition of the church is that place in which the word is preached, the sacraments are administered, and discipline is exercised. People don't like to hear that word, discipline. But sometimes discipline is needed to keep community safe. And while Jesus instructs us not to rush into judgment, he also instructs us to be on guard and to put up boundaries in place in order to protect ourselves and to safeguard the church from the ambition of those who have threat to do it, potential harm. And just a few verses later, we read where Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit." And Jesus, as he sent his disciples out to teach and heal, said this, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves." So the challenge Jesus gave his disciples, and really us, is to be careful. careful not to jump to judgment, careful to truly try to understand and walk in another's shoe, and at the same time setting appropriate boundaries that protect and preserve. I want to close today with a story that I read in Adam Hamilton's book, When Christians Get Things Right. Adam talks about meeting a member of his staff at a bar and grill one evening for dinner. And Hamilton had a sweatshirt on with the name of his church on the front. And after a few minutes, a barmaid came along to their table and she asked if she could sit down. She didn't know he was the pastor, and she said, I see the name of your church on your shirt. Do you go to that church? And Hamilton said, yes, I do. And she said, well, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm going through an awful divorce. My life is a mess. I've been a pagan witch for 9 years, and it's not really working for me. I want to do something different. Do you think your church would welcome someone like me? Hamilton said, of course. And she was in church the next Sunday, and at the end of the service, Adam handed her a Bible, and she began her journey with Christ. So here's a question I want to ask you. If you were wearing a DeWitt Community Church sweatshirt down at Dinosaur Barbecue, and a barmaid who is going through divorce and is a pagan witch asks you, do you think your church would welcome someone like me? What would you honestly say? I know what I would say. I would say yes, without hesitation. If we can say yes, then we're what God envisioned the church to be. And if we say no, we're not really a church. We're just a social club with a cross on top. Jesus is asking us in our reading for today, how do you look at people? With eyes of judgment or with the eyes of Christ? What say you? Let's pray. Lord God, help us to navigate through the relational viruses of this world. Help us to be truly authentic and empathetic and slow to judge. Give us wisdom to set healthy boundaries and discernment to make difficult decisions. But most of all, help us to see others through your eyes. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.